What is up, podcast people? Welcome to another episode of our podcast. As you can tell, we probably have a stranger on here today. A stranger to you guys, but a friend to us, a cool guy. This is Emmaus, right? I'm saying it right.
Yes, sir.
Emmaus. Yep. Emmaus, just real quick, give us a 30-second. How old are you? Married? Not married? What do you do? Give us the 30-second recap.
Yes, so my name is Emmaus Vanderbilt. I live in Gastonia, North Carolina. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's like 20 minutes right outside of Charlotte. I'm 23 years old. I'm married to my best friend, Hannah. We got married back in 2021, and I run a business within video production. I serve on volunteer staff at my church and just look for opportunities to serve and love like Jesus does, whether that's in business or ministry. And I'm excited to be here today.
Let's go. So appreciate you being here. Kayla, we know who you are, but give us a 30-second recap of how your day is going.
I attempted to climb monkey bars on my way to work because we have a Spartan race this weekend, and I don't feel very confident in it.
Nice.
Went to work, did emails, did calls, went home to walk my dog and clean shoes, and now I'm here.
Clean shoes? What shoes did you clean?
The ones that I stepped in mud in, and like my whole
That'll do it. So today we're going to talk about, we're going to pick the experience of Emmaus. Maybe we can also relate just as young adults being involved in leading in capacities, whether if it's in the workforce, like you owning a business and running that, or inside of ministry, inside Christianity, being a young adult and making that happen at the same time and leading things. So I've been kind of stalking you social media wise for a little bit, seeing that, and you preach a little bit at your church, you're getting involved in your church in a high capacity. Where did that just kick off from with wanting to be like, hey, I want to step up and lead inside my church?
I know this isn't going to sound as spiritual as some people may say, because some people would say, yes, I heard God speak to me in a vision or in a dream, and I saw
the fire of heaven come down.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, I never had a very clear calling of today you will start preaching. I just remember back whenever I was in high school, our lead pastor, also known as my dad, gave me an offer. He said, hey, would you want to preach for our student ministry at an event at an outdoor ranch? And I said, sure, why not? I guess I'm down for a good challenge. Mm-hmm. And ever since that point, I remember I spent so much time studying, preparing. I was so nervous. Oh my goodness. Because the people in the crowd were just as old or maybe even older than me. But I said, okay, God, I'm gonna at least give you what I have. Mm-hmm. And I studied, I prepared. I was so nervous. And I thought it went decent. I thought it went pretty good. And then I continued preaching with our student ministry every so often. And then COVID hit. And then everyone had an iPad or a laptop stuck in front of their face. And people were not in churches. We weren't getting that human interaction. And whenever churches came back, I remember the very first time we all came back in person, our church was one of the first ones to do that because we were just ready to get back in person no matter what the government said. We said, boom, we're getting back in person with each other. And we said, I remember I asked my dad, I said, Dad, how many people do you think will come? He said, I have no idea. I don't know. Let's set out 150 chairs, assuming some wouldn't come back. Mm-hmm. Service started, there's about 40. And we said, this is going to be a lot harder than we originally thought.
Yeah.
Because church began to not be important to people. And when we said, we have a lot of work to do. And we weren't going to beg people to come back to church, but we just said, we're just going to work with what we have. Mm-hmm. And those people, they weren't bad people who decided to not come back. They're just people who church wasn't important to them anymore. And with all honesty, I started preaching at Vision Church on Sunday mornings whenever we had 40 people.
Yeah.
Whenever we had 30 people, and because where I care, why not? I mean, we don't have an auditorium of 200 or 300 people. Why not just give Emmaus a shot? That's what the leadership decided. And then at that point, I said, you know what? This is a huge responsibility. It may be only 30 people, but I'm going to pretend like it's 3,000 in the way I prepare and in the way I study. And looking back, I had like a baby face. I didn't have facial hair back then. And then I think that God just blessed that seed of obedience I sowed. And now I'm on our teaching team, and I preach on a rotation with our lead pastor and another missionary who comes in and speaks. And God's just blessed that small obedience starting really with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. It's cool to see the normality it takes to step in and to just start leading, right? Not all the time do you need the vision from God and the audible voice to say, thou shalt wake up this morning and start leading, right?
Yes.
But it's seeing a need and filling the need, right?
Absolutely.
And then you took advantage of the opportunity in front of you and stewarded it the best way you could. and just gave God your best to see what would happen from it. And now look, man, now you're preaching, getting it done at 23.
Yes, sir. I'm trying.
So any other 23-year-olds out there listening right now, if you see a need, be the solution and steward what you can in front of you and just watch what God does with that obedience. What's been one of the toughest things? I can relate, and we all can, as young adults being inside the church, being a pastor's kid as well, just some of the challenges that arise with just having that stereotype of just a young person in general. How has being young in ministry been a challenge?
I would say being young in ministry and also young in business is very tough.
Yeah.
Because people may tend to look down on you. And at least for me, I've never had someone to my face say, you shouldn't preach because you're young. But whenever you grab that microphone or you have that headset mic, you step on stage, and then you see someone who's 50 years old in the crowd, you instantly think, why in the world would this person listen to me?
Yeah.
And if someone's never asked themselves that question before, I'd say one of two things. One, you've never preached, or two, you haven't cared enough to actually process everything that's going on. Because anyone who has spoken to a group of adults will face that question, why would this person want to listen to me? Mm-hmm. But I love whenever I read throughout scripture that God chooses people not based off of what other people see, but God mm-hmm. chooses people based off of the heart. And whenever God puts a calling and a desire inside of you, I have to remind myself that God is the one who calls me. God is the one who strengthens me and actually gives me everything I need. And it's not based off of my own strength. So if God calls me to a challenge and says, I want you to share a message on how I worked through the life of Moses, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to study life of Moses. I'm going to read scripture. I'm going to watch sermons from other pastors. I'm going to read articles, blogs, and books. I'm going to be the most educated I can. And then God, I'm going to leave the rest up to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have that be my way of saying, God, I trust you. And I'm not going to rely on my own strength or my own knowledge. But instead, if you call me to do this, I'm going to move forward with it.
Yeah.
Now, another strength as a pastor's kid is I always have to fight against the feeling of being entitled. And yeah. that is just being honest.
Yeah.
And just being honest with you, I'm not entitled. Everything in my life I've worked for because yep. God's given me the strength to do it. I'm not trying to be prideful and saying, hey, look at me. But I remember back at Christmas as a kid, I was never given a $500 gift card to go to Walmart or Best Buy. I mean, I was always taken care of. I was always provided for, and we were always given gifts, but we were never given these humongous gifts or here, son, because you're my son, it's your birthday, we'll let you preach on Easter this year. None of that ever came.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an entitlement. But so many times people think, well, just because you're a pastor's kid, it means you must have everything handed to you. The actual truth is, because you're a pastor's kid, it means you'll be in there on Saturday sweeping the gym floor if no one shows up.
You're the one stacking chairs.
Sometimes you're the one on your knees praying for the single mom who you know is going through the tough season. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that people won't see. So you have to fight against people thinking that you're entitled. And the way I've at least found that to work best for me is to serve before I preach.
Yeah.
In every opportunity I can, whether that's before I actually preach a message, I go walk around and I talk to people. I do not hang out inside the green room on Sundays. I love on people. I go put my arms around them. If there's a single mom who needs help with something in her yard, you know what? If I can, I'll go offer to help her with it. And through sowing those seeds, over time, people will begin to say, hey, he's not just an entitled brat
yep.
because his dad's the pastor. They'll be able to see he has a heart of servitude and gratitude.
Yeah, and that's the first key component with getting your foot in the door with ministry in general is through serving, right?
Yes,
in order for you to talk on the stage, you got to build the stage.
Absolutely. Come on.
And that's what Paul told Timothy. Timothy, a young guy, establishing the church, doing his thing. Don't let anybody look down at you for your age, but this is how you set the example in your speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity.
Come on.
So with your actions, with how you serve, people are now looking at that like, oh, hey, this young dude, like, why is he sweeping the floor? Why is he stacking chairs? Why is he talking to people? Why is he loving on people? Like, you're setting the example in those moments. And that's all something we as young adults can do is you don't need to be a theologian. You don't need a pastoral title. Anybody can just start serving.
Come on.
Right? So I would encourage anybody listening, hop into your local church, find a need, fill it, start serving, and to be the difference through serving, through making those things. Yeah, anything?
Well, outside of, like, being in, like, the vocational ministry part, because I feel like that would be like my strength here, is like understanding too, like serving at church, but also like your work can be your ministry. And coming from being like in a leadership position really young, like you are looked down at sometimes as to like, oh, you need to prove yourself way more. But the number one thing is like, you need to touch a hand before you touch a heart, is like what I've kept with me throughout like my whole time working. Sorry. Because of like the ever thought of like having to prove yourself constantly. Mm-hmm. So I would just say like, one, don't forget that like you don't have to necessarily be standing inside a church to help. Like that is outside, that is at your work, that is everyday living when you breathe, to be able to like serve others too.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
So throwing this question out to both of you, what do you see even in the work, because you work with young adults too in the gym, a lot of young people in the gym.
Yes.
thinking they're strong, but not really that strong.
Hey.
at least spiritually, you know, physically they might have the strength, but at least spiritually we're working on that piece. Biggest hurdle you see amongst young adults, whether if it's in the church, at work, just the biggest thing you see is holding them back.
Holding them back from?
From just succeeding in life, spiritually, physically, striving, living morally right, just this, the biggest obstacle you see them repeatedly facing.
I think comparison. Comparison is a theft of joy. So whether that's comparing them as to like, I'm this age, I need to be doing this at this point, like there's not a timeline for every single person in their path, but also comparison in the fact of becoming or living as a Christian, as to like comparing like, oh, I can't go out and do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this because I'm supposed to live as a Christian, and I'm supposed to be boring. And I feel like that's like the biggest obstacle, is that they're comparing themselves to people who are living worldly, and we're not called to live in the world. And then just comparing themselves to needing to be on this strict track in order to succeed at like a certain age.
Yeah, that's good. What do you think?
I would have to say two things. Number one, what I've seen take more young adults out of the game than anything is their sexual purity.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen that sweep great men and women off of their feet and fall on their butts and not be able to get back up. And whenever you have your sexual integrity have a breach within your integrity, it compromises everything.
Yep.
I heard a quote years ago. It said, whenever integrity is off, everything is off.
Yep.
And if you let your integrity slide as a man or woman of God, especially a single, dating, or engaged man or woman, you should not be sleeping with someone else, because your body should be dedicated to purity for the Lord. You cannot be a great worship leader who tithes and serves every week, but you go home to go sleep with your girlfriend. God will not bless that. I've seen it repeatedly in ministry.
Yeah.
Solid men and women of God just been taken out of the game. And I'm not even talking about just not having sex, but I'm talking about not even giving the illusion to evil. 1 Thessalonians tells us, don't even give the appearance of evil.
Yep.
An example of this, I remember back whenever I was in high school, I was dating a girl back at the time. And it was after prom, and I just told her, I said, after prom, I'm not even going to go inside your house. She was like, why? And she was like, I know my parents are here. I said, correct, but how does it look having my car outside your home this yep. late? Because I knew from back then, God had a calling on my life, and I didn't want me to be 30 years old, married, having kids, a family, being a part of a ministry or having my own ministry. And someone says, hey, what's this picture I took 12 years ago outside your ex-girlfriend's home?
Yeah.
Explain that. And even though I wouldn't have done anything wrong, it just wouldn't have set me up for success yeah. and for God's best. So I would just encourage young people out there, make sure that your sexual purity is in alignment with God's word. Don't even give the appearance of evil, because that will take you out, and it will give a foothold and a crack for Satan to get into your life
yeah.
and tear you up from the inside out. I've seen it over and over. The second thing that is holding young adults back, and of course, any of these could apply to adults, men and women, but especially young adults, is the concept of tithing. It yeah. is so important. I've heard from so many young adults that say, oh, well, I'm excited to tithe once I start making a lot of money.
Yep.
And I tell them lovingly, then you're never going to tithe if you won't start now.
Yep.
I remember the first time that I actually remember tithing, I was mowing the lawn for my grandma. She gave me a check for $25. That was before Venmo was around. I got a check for $25. And I was curious. Man. I went to go on Planning Center Giving under my profile, and I looked back. Some of my oldest giving receipts have tithes of $3.
Yeah.
And I tithed based on that. And then God continued to bless that and grow me. He grew my business. He grew everything that I was able to put my hand to because he was able to trust me with the little things.
Yeah.
And now whenever we have a political client reach out and then ask us for a video, and it's a much larger invoice than $25, God says, I know that I can trust you with that because you've been diligent with a smaller amount.
Yeah, it's biblical, right? To be faithful with little is to be faithful
absolutely
with much, right?
Yeah. And I just really want to encourage anyone out there to start tithing to your local church, whether you're a part of Steel Creek or whether you're a part of somewhere else. Start tithing 10% of your income and just watch what God will do with it. You can do more with 90% blessed than 100% cursed. I've seen it in my life.
Yep.
I'm a living testimony of someone who was like, okay, God, I'll just give you the little bit that I have. And God took it and grew it from that point. So staying pure sexually and trusting God with your money.
Money and sex. Two biggest things.
That's right.
Money and sex.
Yes.
Even going on the sexual morality path a little bit, statistics amongst the Gen Z demographic, we are having sex less because we're replacing it with like pornography. Mm-hmm. To where it still falls under sexual immorality.
Yes.
But we see people like, hey, just because I haven't slept with this person, yeah, but you slept with Pornhub for, mm-hmm. you know, for 5 nights a week, right? And we see the statistically, they're not sleeping with another physical human because they're replacing it with pornography. And that's I see that as a huge hurdle amongst young adults. That isn't really spoken to a lot, either in the church, because of, man, just many issues, right? Shame. Half the time, the leader is the one struggling with it, so where they can't even speak with a place of integrity. So that's a big hurdle amongst young adults is sexual immorality, 100%. And then, so those are some good nuggets with not comparing yourself to others, money, sex, two very touchy topics. I would say kind of steering this direction. I'm curious about in the business route now. What do you see as different from, and both of y'all can speak to this. Well, actually, I hear the stories, the late night gym stories. what do you see as different from the church world, right? Being a pastor's kid, growing up in church life, church world, business world, business culture, church culture. What kind of differences are there?
A lot.
Yeah.
I come from, I guess, like a working environment that is not very on track with like their faith, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They, I get questions all the time. Sometimes I'm like, gosh, I should just bring Josh to work with me one day and just like minister to everybody at work. Cause I just feel like everyone within that area is so lost. But I do notice that like they just need compassion, love, and grace sometimes. And you have to like take that anger out and that annoyance of all the stories and just be like, they need love. That's what they need. They need to know the love of Jesus. But yeah, the difference I would say is they're going to admit it, that they don't know Jesus. They don't know what they don't know. And then I guess going into ministry and church is like, they know Jesus. They're coming to church. So now it's like bridging that gap and finding that difference between how do we get them to not feel like that within work,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing them there. So I'd say the difference is like, you don't know what you don't know, basically. Yep. It's like either you know Jesus and you're defying it, or you know Jesus and you're following, or you don't know Jesus, so you're not following. And I feel like that's like the difference between those two worlds, is finding that gap and filling it, basically.
Yep, that's good. Got any thoughts? Church culture versus world culture.
Yes. Well, in terms of business culture, I guess I'll sort it into two different categories. One I'll call corporate America,
yep.
which is garbage. I never plan on partaking in corporate America. I hate the way it's ran. I hate the way that they treat people.
Yeah.
I hate a lot of the morals behind it. It's very, very sin and pride driven, and I want nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I would much rather grow slow and do
it. Define corporate America.
Yeah, doing corporate America is going to work for something such as Bank of America, Chase Bank, and then they give you a promotion 1 week, and then the next week they'll end up cutting your feet out from under you, firing you with no notice because they want to increase profits in Q2. That's what corporate America is.
Okay.
It's a numbers game.
It's a giant numbers game.
Numbers over people.
It's numbers over people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not just Bank of America. It's not just Chase. It's not just Walmart. Not just Amazon. But with a lot of these big companies, again, they're not all bad. But some of these companies, what they'll do is they don't care about you as a person. They just care about what you can do, and then they'll give you a paycheck. And if they no longer have a need for you, or if AI can replace you, boom, you're out. They don't care about you. Wait, I have a wife or I have a kid. They don't care. You're out.
Yeah.
And for me, I've decided the way I'm going to lead and run the business is going to put people before profits. So that's why I want to separate it into two different categories. Corporate America, I want to have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So I would rather grow slow, but do it God's way. So something that I've found to be successful and that has led to my success as a businessman and as a leader has been the concept of servant leadership in the business world, in the marketplace. And why is it very successful? It's because it's what Jesus modeled. It's all throughout the Bible. Jesus served others. He met the woman at the well. He didn't go crack the whip. But he went there to go love on her. And I said, now, wait a second. If that worked for Jesus, why can't it work for me? Now, I'll give you an example of it. Whenever we have team members filming a wedding, first of all, we pay them very well, because I want them to know I care for them, I value them. And also, whenever it pays well, you attract some of the best, the most loyal people, the most loyal team members who don't just care about me, but they care about Hannah. They care about my home and my church. And that's not just because they want a paycheck. It's because it's putting out the attitude of, hey, we're going to honor one another. I'm going to pay you well. I'm not going to nickel and dime you if you show up 2 minutes late. But I'm going to treat you very well. And hey, if they're supposed to show up at, let's say, 12:30, I'm going to Venmo money for lunch. Why? I don't have to. It's because I love them. I want to care for them. I'm going to serve them. And a great reflection of that is whenever I was sick, I had COVID about 4 or 5 months ago, one of those team members reached out and he actually asked if I needed help editing projects, and he was willing to do it at a reduced rate because he cared for me so much.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Because I led with serving. And anytime he needs help, or hey, he needs to borrow a lens, or he needs to borrow a camera, of course, absolutely, I'm more than happy to serve. And whenever I take that approach versus your typical corporate America, I found great success. I found great team member retention. And I've also seen wonderful reciprocity. Whenever I have a need, they're more than happy to help. One of them this morning, I reached out to him that he accidentally made a slight error and he fixed it within like an hour. And he didn't complain. He didn't grumble.
Yep.
He was like, here, absolutely. I just fixed it and it should be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And whenever you lead with servant leadership, you'll have such greater success. You'll stand out in the marketplace, and it also provides opportunities for ministry. I actually had an opportunity for a team member in Florida, or she lived in Florida. The wedding was in Georgia. We actually ended up at dinner talking about salvation. She was a part of a church, or she thought she was, and I just asked, "Do you know where you're going whenever you die one day?" And fast forward 5 minutes later, we're all holding hands, my wife, her, and someone else. And then she prayed to accept Christ on the job.
Let's go.
She's been paid hourly, and she got saved that day.
Let's go.
And I believe if I would have walked in there with a whip and said, one minute late, I'm taking away that pay, I'm not doing this. What type of testimony is that as a godly man and a godly leader? Now, I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I can be tough if I have to. But I'm going to be very loving and kind, and I'm going to lead well.
Yeah.
Because it represents Jesus. And ultimately, I want someone to walk away from the marketplace and say, I'm not even sure about Christianity, or I'm not sure, but something's different about that guy. And that's what I want people to walk away with. And then that hopefully will plant a seed, and they can have an opportunity to minister to someone and share the gospel with them.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. That is two completely different leadership styles, right? If it's servant leadership, humility, honoring people versus, you know, money over people, numbers over people, selfish gain. Those are two completely different worlds. Let's see. Kind of last question here to land this plan. I'm curious. So when did you switch from growing up in the church, right? Pastor's kid, growing up into the church. When did you switch from being a kid in the church, if you will, or a member of the church, to now flipping the switch and giving back to it through leading, through volunteering? And what were some of those early volunteering moments? We heard the preaching moment, but were there some other volunteering moments inside the church?
And I will say, this isn't to brag, but I've always been someone to love serving in the church.
Yep.
And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've been a bad, naughty teenager at times. We may have broke things or said things they shouldn't have.
Did the whip cracked on you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Which I deserved it too. Of course, by no means have I been perfect, but I will say I've always loved serving in church. I've loved technology. I've loved serving in audiovisual.
Whether is that where the love for audio and visual stuff came, was starting the church?
I really believe so. I believe
so. To wedding?
Yes. I mean, even before my family started a church 9 years ago, I remember I was 9 or 10 years old, and I just loved hanging out in the sound booth with people and back in kids' ministry. Maybe it's because I didn't want to partake in the crazy games on stage. Who knows? Yeah. But either way, I loved being a part of serving with audiovisual. But whenever I think when my large shift from just doing tasks to wanting to minister to people mm-hmm. was whenever I just realized the hope in Jesus, how it needs to be shared, man.
Yeah.
And whenever I went to a local community college, my heart just broke when I saw some people about how hopeless they were.
Yeah.
And with conversations I had and the stuff I saw on social media, and of course, there's plenty of wonderful young adult ministries and like what you guys do here at Steel Creek, and there's wonderful Christian influencers who are doing a great job. But at least for me and those people in my circle, I said, I need to step up so that I can be a leader for these people. And some of them were very successfully, I'd call it a mission success, and having them come to church and do great. Some of them were not. And I'll give you a prime example. I remember it was my freshman year at a local community college. One day we were instructed to stand up and share something that we're passionate about. And I said, hey, I'm passionate about serving at my church. I love God. I love people, something along that gist. And then there was another girl, I'll just call her Amber to protect her identity. And she stood up and said, hey, I love volunteering at Planned Parenthood. It's an organization I'm passionate about. And basically, I love volunteering there. And my first instinct was to be like, you sinner, you need to repent of your sins and follow Jesus. And you can just even feel the tension when I said that between life and death.
Yeah.
And I think God said, nope, I have you in that class because I want you on assignment. And my goal in that time was just to be a good friend.
Yeah.
Whenever we worked on projects together, it was not to slip her cards for the 40 days for life walk. It wasn't to invite her to Love Life, but it was just to be a good friend.
Yeah.
And we follow each other on social media, and which back then was appropriate because I was single back then. Which of course I won't do now. I've other guardrails in my life because I won't do that now as a married man. But back then I was just a good friend to her. And then I remember I saw on Facebook or Instagram, she was going through some really tough stuff with her like relationships or health. I just said, hey, would you, I know we haven't spoken at all, Amber, but would you want to come to Vision Church? Which sounded crazy, inviting like someone who's, I mean, polar opposites of life. I mean, I'm pro-life and pro-death.
Yeah.
I said, would you want to come to church? She came. She came to church.
Wow.
And she brought her boyfriend, and they may even, I can't remember, they may even came a couple times. But she came and she heard the gospel of Jesus Christ sitting in those chairs of the church because someone was willing to not just build up a big wall as soon as we just disagreed about something, but instead led with a servant mindset and said, I care about you. We may not agree, but I care about you as a person. And I believe that I was able to plant that seed, and hopefully the Holy Spirit is still growing in her life. At that point. So that's where I just encourage young people, don't give up just because, oh, this just seems impossible. How in the world could I help share the gospel with this person? This person's so far from God. Never underestimate what a simple act of obedience can lead to.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Any last nuggets?
No, I think that was good.
That was good. That was awesome. Well, appreciate you hopping on today. Everybody else out there listening to this episode, lead by serving. Take initiative, another young adult in the world, making it happen on the business side with the church side to where you can just see a need and feel it, be the solution, and we will catch you on another episode. Adios.
See ya.